This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Giovanni Battista Tonelli, but we're going to call you Jamba. Excellent. You're a professor at Verona. Last week we sort of, I got a little bit confused, but I think I understood finally what was going on with the ripening. This week we're going to talk a wee bit about global warming, because last week and Amarone ripening, and also some of the new tools you've got for understanding ripening. But we touched on last week about with global warming, it's warmer, so the flowering's earlier, which means that the ripening process is now occurring at a different time of the year. So it's at a warmer time of the year, because obviously temperatures drop as the year goes. So if you flower earlier, you're going to be a warmer part of the year as the ripening. And that's changing the way plants are ripening. So what's going on there?
Yeah, so we have a lot of now trends over the past 10 or 20 years of trends of temperature, of increasing temperature, that are also telling us that in the traditional viticultural areas, the temperature is really changing. And in this area, varieties that are cultivated suffer about that, because that we have early ripening, too early ripening. That means too much sugar in the berries, too low acidity, and not enough developed aroma compounds, not sometimes, depending on the variety, not enough color. And let's say the maturity is a very complex process that keeps together a lot of things, a lot of aspects. And if these aspects are not going together to the final quality, then we have unbalanced maturity of the berries.
So as the season progresses, two things happen, as we said. The temperature decreases, but also the days get shorter, don't they?
Yeah.
So you're changing the amount of light levels in your grapes. So if you're ripening earlier, you're going to have more sunlight during the ripening period,
yes.
And it's going to be warmer.
Yeah.
Yeah? So more sunlight means?
More sunlight means more sugar.
More sugar. So that's why you're getting higher sugars.
Yes.
Because you just got more warmth and more sunlight, which is giving you more sugar. Okay, that makes sense.
Let's say even not more sunlight, because normally the photosynthetic capacity of the grapevine is saturated by the amount of radiation. Is really much more related to temperature. So the higher the temperature, then this machinery is working a little bit better to accumulating sugar in the berry.
Oh, okay.
And that's why we normally do not consider radiation when we do calculation about what will be the technological maturity in our grape, but we consider only the temperature.
Okay, got you. Okay. As the days get shorter and shorter and shorter, that period that you're photosynthesizing must get shorter and shorter and shorter.
Yes, it's shorter, but sugar are almost there, so you don't need much more.
Okay.
But you need still an evolution of phenolic compounds and, more importantly, of the aroma compounds in the berry. So that last period, when the days become shorter, it's a very important period for the final quality of the berry. Not for the sugar. Yes, you need, for example, a couple of Brix degree more. You will reach it in a couple of weeks. But the most important thing is what happens to the other components of the quality. So,
okay, and that's a little bit of warmth but time.
Yeah.
A little bit of warmth and time. And if you're doing it earlier, you've got much more warmth.
And the sugar are there. So at a certain point, you have to pick your grapes, because you don't need more sugar. Otherwise, you will have too alcohol in the wine.
Yeah.
And your goal is, for example, 13 degree. Then you have to harvest grapes. That is.
I had some Zinfandel or Primitivos, as the Italians like to call it, from Puglia, and it was hitting 17% alcohol.
Yeah.
And I was like, some of them they stopped the fermentation early and turned them into a sweet Zinfandel.
Yeah.
Which one of them was okay-ish, but it wasn't my cup of tea.
I think this is also a matter of that in the past we have some advices. So the viticulturists have been pushed to take care of maturity. And in the, let's say 20 years ago, the must was please keep us the grape when there are at least 19 or 20 sugar degree. And so it's a lost, I cannot be able to explain. It's a lost of mentality of the now of the grape growers that they need to push the sugar because that's what it was told in the past. Now we have another message. Please don't put so much sugar in your grapes. Mm. So be careful. Try to do something with your viticulture to lower the rate.
Would that be more to do with just removing leaf canopy? Because the leaf canopy is your sugar producers.
Yeah, there are some techniques that have been proposed, like leaf removal, precise point during the development, maybe after the horizon, you can remove a part of your canopy and you may retard your increase in sugar. Mm. But it depends really on the condition, the variety, and whatever. It's not always successful.
Okay, let's touch on Amarone. Because Amarone is a wine that's, from a ripening point of view, you seem to be a little bit excited about.
Yeah.
We're in Verona, so Valpolicella, yeah, Amarone is a big, big thing here. But you were saying to me earlier that Amarone, they pick it and then they dry the grapes out, but the ripening process continues. What's going on there?
Yeah, it's not really an over-ripening. So, of course, when you pick up the grape, then you have not a connection with the mother plant. So there are a lot of things that really stops. For example, the sugar are not increasing because there are more sugar coming from the plants because the plant is no more there.
But you're losing water, so the relative amount of sugar and acidity.
You're losing normally 30% of water in the end. So you have a good increase in sugar for that reason. And all the juice is concentrating, let's say, not only sugar, all the dry extract
and flavors,
flavor,
the acidity.
And also the body is increased. But the acidity is continues their trend. So when you have the grape in this room, the acidity is going down.
Oh, okay.
But you have concentration, so you have two opposite mechanisms. Acidity is decreasing, but is also concentrating. It depends on who win in the end. Degradation or concentration.
But and you think about mouthfeel in a wine, sugar / alcohol gives body. So you're getting more body because your acidity is either dropping or increasing a little
it's
bit.
It's almost there.
It's sort of staying flattish, but you're getting more concentration of everything else.
Yeah.
So do they pick the Amarone earlier to help?
Normally they pick it earlier only because you have the chance to pick the best way. Mm-hmm. Of the field, so they don't pick up all the grape in the field. It's a manual, let's say, operation. People goes in the field, a lot of people, and pick only the best cluster that can stand the 3 months of post harvest degradation.
Because they've got to be clean fruit. You can't have any molds.
No. That should be completely healthy and not too tight. Otherwise, we'll have mold. The other thing is it's not only a matter of concentration. We know from only by tasting the wine, but now we know also from the gene expression, there is a new program that is happening in the berry when you harvest. So the berry are still alive. You have alive tissues, alive cells that are still going on with the metabolism. But it happens with every fruit. If you pick up apples, they are stored for 6 months and they are alive. So you have to understand that you are working with an alive matter.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is for the grapes. So the grapes, especially we have been comparing a lot of grapes, that the grapes in Verona are very recalcitrant to dehydration. You know, the word recalcitrant. So they dehydrate very slowly.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it takes a long time to the water to leave the fruit, because maybe the permeability of the thick skin. And this aspect is very important. We have been comparing it with other grape varieties, like, for example, Cabernet Sauvignon. If you put Cabernet Sauvignon in the dehydrating room, it dehydrates in 1 month, and that's it. It's finished. And the grapes, in the end, maybe will die. And so that there is not a lot of time for processes to go on. For the variety in Verona, like Corvina, Corvinone, Rondinella, and the few ones that we grow here.
Molinara
is a little bit out.
And it's not fashionable.
I mean, it's a very, let's say, good variety, even if this word is not so.
The color, you,
yeah. But the color now in the international market, you cannot go with wines that are too poor in color, and so Molinara was at a certain point removed from the protocol of the.
Oh, it's not in.
I mean, it's like a variety that you can use, but you are not. It's not mandatory. Yeah, in the beginning, it was mandatory to use a little bit of Corvina, Corvinone, Rondinella, and Molinara. But at a certain point, it was, discarded.
Okay. Did you say Corvina and Corvino?
Corvinone. Corvinone is, at the beginning, it was believed it was a sort of clone of Corvina, so yeah. The same variety with different features.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the end, the genetic analysis demonstrated it is a different variety. It's very related, so maybe one is the parent of the other.
Yeah, yeah.
Genetically, but it's different. You have larger berries and a little bit more color.
We've talked about how the sugars and the acidity and other things change, but we haven't talked about other, like the flavors or anything else in the grapes.
There are something that is transforming in the grape that are placed for 3 months in these rooms, and you can feel it very easily in the wine. So it's not only a concentration of what you had 3 months before. It's something different. And these new traits are mostly, as you said, aromatic traits, like, let's say, you have descriptors like tobacco and, let's say, spirit and balsamic, spicy, or cacao, cafe.
Chocolate
also. And at a certain point, some producer came to us and said, please, can you tell a little bit more about what is happening in these grapes? Because we can understand the
concentration.
Yeah, the concentration of, now that also that these new flavor notes that are appearing. And we have applied some of the new tools that we have now, that is the analysis of gene expression, which tells you what the berry is doing in that particular moment. And so when we apply this kind of new technology, we learn that the berry is really doing a lot of things after harvest. The ripening is not the end program of a developing berry. There is much more to do for the berries. And it's not easy to summarize what happens, but there are really new genes, new meaning during ripening were almost completely silent, that are now expressed. So meaning that the berry has a new metabolism going on, some, not all, but some of these genes can be attributed to the aroma metabolism.
Okay.
So terpenes, sesquiterpenes, that are produced de novo in the grapes. And that was a very good news for the producer, because they could tell also to the consumer, the Amarone wine is the result of very, very complex process, that is the appassimento. So this post-harvest dehydration is called appassimento. And it's not only a concentration, it's a new program. It's a sort of third time for grapes to mature.
Okay. And is that different because carbonic maceration?
Yeah.
Because with carbonic maceration, you've got whole grapes that are kept away from oxygen, and they go through an internal fermentation process.
Yeah.
And that fermentation, I thought, was an enzyme-related fermentation as opposed to a yeast-based fermentation. Is it a similar type of thing to that, or is it different?
It's completely different.
Completely different.
Because in that kind of fermentation, you have a saturation of carbon dioxide, so you have anoxic condition.
No oxygen.
No oxygen. While in the post-harvest of the grapes for the Amarone, the grapes are layered in trays, and you have a lot of air going on that. So you don't have internal fermentation. You have a lot of oxygen going on. So it's not that. It's completely different.
Okay.
And also the feeling is very different. You don't have so much that kind of compounds that you have in the carbonic maceration.
Why do you think grapes have got this unusual genetic mechanism? Because you wouldn't think that it would be much use to them. Is it something that was there for something else, not being used, but under these unusual conditions it kicks in?
Yeah. We tried to an interpretation of the process. We believe that there are some response of the berry that is a sort of late ripening. So we normally pick up the berry, we think they are okay, but maybe if we leave the berry on the plants, the berry will show something different if you leave the cluster. Of course, you have birds at a certain point that finish.
Yeah.
But maybe there is another program that is setting up in the berry after the commercial ripening.
Okay, so
So
it's a bit like,
as
the grapes ripen, we said last week that they develop different flavors, and that development of different flavors is some sort of genetic process, you know, within the vine, and it just happens that it would naturally go to this next process, but it never gets there because we pick the grapes first.
Yes.
Okay, and the advantage of this is because when you pick it and you dry it out, if you left the grapes on the vine, you'd land up with, raisining, but also you'd land up with more sugar accumulation if you could.
No, it depends. In here in Verona, this is not the case because the climatic condition normally
gets wet.
It gets wet and you have mold on the grapes, so you have to pick up. Sometimes in 2003, I remember that the very warm year, we could have the grapes on the plant until December. But normally, when the fog starts being around, then you cannot leave there. But the other thing is, I was saying, it's not only processes that will take place in the grapes in any case. There is also some response to the stressing condition. So if you pick up grape, put it in the dehydrating condition, then, of course, the berry is realizing that it's something.
It's under a lot of stress.
A lot of stress. Also, the temperature is a little bit different because you're not in the field. You don't have the diurnal temperature difference. You are in very, very stable condition in these storerooms. And, I think there is a response of the grapes to this.
Does that mean that future work might be looking at changing conditions in the storerooms? Because at the moment they're put on trays and they're dried out. But it might be that maybe you introduce cold and warm periods and you could play around with that mechanism?
Yeah, I mean the hydration is not totally conditioned now. It's in semi-natural condition. So you have these rooms with windows, you have ventilation, so the external environment is still influencing what's happening inside. But of course, when it's too wet, the windows are closed and there are machines removing humidity. So it's a sort of semi-natural condition. And I think there is a lot of research now here around about what are the best conditions for the red-rotting grapes. Now, also climate change is a little bit affecting also this period, because being semi-natural, if it is too warm outside, then you have too warm inside. So maybe this dehydration time is not long enough to develop good aroma compounds in the grape. So now there's a lot of concern also about that, and the producer are understanding that they need to maintain, they need to do something in the field to have the right ripening time, and they do need to do something in this storeroom that we call them fruttaio, so the chamber of the fruit, and to let the grape dehydrate slowly enough to reach the 3 months of dehydration. Yeah.
What would happen if you left the grape in there for much longer? At a cooler temperature, so the dehydration wasn't so...
But dehydration goes on, let's say, goes on.
Yeah.
Yes, it slows down, but never stop. So in the end, if you leave the grapes there, you end up with the raisins.
Okay, I was just wondering how you could encourage this genetic mechanism to be more pronounced.
So the thing is to understand in which condition this genetic program is the best one, so the one that you would like to have, and then to try to create those conditions.
Mm. Do you know what they are yet?
Yes, I mean that one is of course again the temperature. So we have you need to keep the temperature low to favor a slow dehydration, because temperature is one of the main trigger of the dehydration. Of course, you have also the humidity, the air humidity, but it's a little bit more. I mean, it's not easy, because you would have to increase the humidity of the environment, which is very dangerous.
Yeah, molds.
So it's better to work with temperature than with the humidity. But even there is a balance between the two.
All right, Giovanni, I think we're going to wrap it up there. I think next week we'll touch on the genes and what you're doing. Is that all right?
Okay.
Cool.